Betty, welcome into the program. You know, I am happy that you found us at 97.1 FM, 1450 AM, and maybe on your computer at NorthIdahoRadio.com, live programming. It's Tuesday. My name is Barbara, but more important is my guest, Mark Reiner. Mark has been with us several times over the years to share and invite you to upcoming classical concerts with the Pandere Chorale and Orchestra. I hope that all of you have attended at least some of the many concerts over the last 32 years. What a legacy, Mark, you have left along with your wife, Karen.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So, okay, we've got all that coming your way right after this first break.
Mincy's Lounge and Bar is open and very happy to present Ty Stoney Stonehawker and his dynamic string duo.
When you call me drunk, it really turns
bluegrass
me
and
on.
Folk rock with Stoney Stonehawker, Saturday, June 14th at 8 p.m. Stoney brings his super high energy to the stage. Come dance a night away, 8 p.m., Saturday, June 14th.
Trains are rolling.
$5 cover and $2 beers. Mincy's on 5th.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our 5 locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own Restore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. Everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the Restore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
The thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1. All right, everyone, come back on in and say hello and welcome to Mark Reiner, the founder and conductor with the Pandere Chorale Orchestra. Mark, thank you as always for being with us.
Well, you're certainly welcome, but I don't take all that credit by myself. My dear wife, Karen, is also equal partner in all of this.
She is, if not the senior partner, I'm beginning to think.
Well, she, at the beginning, I did everything, directed both the choir and the orchestra, but over time, I've turned the choir over to her, so she does all of that, and now she's also doing all of the accompanying for all the soloists.
Oh, so on the piano.
Yes, exactly, yes.
That is lovely. Well, let's begin up front with this year's summer concert or spring concerts. Where and when?
All right. The first concert is this coming Friday. at 7 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church on Olive Street. As always, our concerts are totally free. We do accept donations, for that helps us kind of carry on, but it's totally free, and we hope to see you then or on Sunday at 3 p.m. and also at the First Lutheran Church on Olive Street.
Okay, these wonderful concerts, there are two of them. They are coming this weekend, Friday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And you've had the concerts before at the First Lutheran Church on Ontario and Olive.
Yes, we have usually used that church in recent years. Previously to that, we have used other churches. As a matter of fact, Church of Latter-day Saints has asked us to use their church for this coming winter concert.
Oh, wonderful.
And so if you understand that if we went one place all the time, people start thinking that we're some denominational organization, but we're totally non-denominational.
These are just beautiful, beautiful venues for the music. And I think the Church of Latter-day Saints and the Catholic Church, which I heard a concert at, have great acoustics. If they're built the way we want them, they have great acoustics,
yes,
don't they?
However, the Catholic Church has chosen not to have us there anymore, so we won't ever be having it at that venue.
Well, everybody makes decisions anyway. So it's coming this weekend. I want to begin with one of the selections that you've made for this concert coming up Friday and Sunday. And I want you to tempt our listeners with some commentary, and then we're going to play some music. So tell us a little bit about Verdi's Prelude to La Traviata.
Okay, well, as always, preludes are meant to set the scene for the entire opera. And in this particular case, I'll give you the little story behind the opera first.
Okay.
The La Traviata, if you translate it, it means the fallen woman or the redeeming woman. In other words, she's had troubles. In modern day terms, she'd be called an upscale escort.
Okay.
And she is supposed to enjoy her life a great deal, so it has a lot of gay music in it. But unfortunately, and I'm not going to give everything away, she also has tuberculosis. And it turns out to be a tragedy in the end. Let me say that when this opera was first performed, it turned out to be a flop. And the reason was totally because the soprano who did the lead role in it could not act well enough to make it appear that she died at the end. And so it flopped, but it's turned out to be a perennial favorite since that time.
Everybody who, they don't even know about opera, I'll bet they know La Traviata. If that were in a crossword puzzle, they go,
yes,
La Traviata, I've heard of that. I don't know what it's about.
Right. But,
so it ends very sad.
Oh,
she dies.
It ends at, yes.
Tragedy.
She at the end, yes. Well, I'll go ahead and give it away. The guy who loves her all the way through it, she puts him off constantly until the very end. And where they express their love to each other.
Oh, is this where he's holding her in his arms at the very end?
Yes,
she dies in his arms.
Sort of thing.
My goodness.
Well, there's a lot more to the story than that. But let me give a couple other little facts about this. The opera was first performed in 1853. And what happened there was that in the 1850s, there were censors in the Italian government that would not allow this to be performed the way it was.
Because she was a fallen woman.
Yes. And so they actually they forced him, the composer Verdi, into putting it 100 years earlier, making the setting 100 years earlier. So you can see there was politics involved even then in this.
Yeah, I know. There's always politics involved.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's play a portion of La Traviata, and we'll be listening to that right now.
Thank you.
is so beautiful. Those violins.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. The strings carry the most of the...
Of this opera?
Yes. No, the strings carry most of the prelude.
Prelude. Yes. Tell us what we're listening to there.
Well, they took this at a fairly slow tempo. You may have noticed it was the violins had a little happy thing, dum, da-da-dum, 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 which was kind of like her being able to be a gay party girl. Mm. But you also heard a couple of big, strong chords in there that were in minor that kind of indicate what's going to happen.
Kind of hinting there's some tragedy
exactly.
that's coming.
Yeah. Believe it or not, this is based on a true story. Oh. Some of us may have heard of the author Alex Dumas. She was actually his lover. Mm. And he wrote the material in his books about this her life, and that's what was adapted for this opera.
And did she have, in real life, his lover had TB and died, so he was telling, this was a true story.
Well, more or less, yes. They've adapted, of course, yes.
That it was based on.
Yes.
Verdi was, of course, Italian, and when did he live? What was his time frame?
Oh, well, he was from the early 1800s to the latter portion, mid to latter portion of it, like the 1860s and so on.
You know, in talking with you before, Mark, it's always interesting to me that some composers have sponsors and mentors with money, or they achieve success during their life, and others just die in absolute poverty. Well, what about Verdi?
Well, actually, Verdi went through the whole process himself. He ended up famous, of course, but he started out with flops. And people don't seem to understand. It takes a lot of effort to write an opera. I mean, you're talking a year's worth of work, and his very first opera was put out, he was booed out of the auditorium. Mm. And he didn't really, and he was married at that time with a young wife, and it was pretty much of a disaster for him. But he kept with it, and he ended up being famous.
Did he live a long life?
Relatively? I would say relatively, yes. Mm-hmm.
Into his, 60s, somewhere along there?
Well, in the latter portion of the 1800s, you end up having... Italy was in turmoil, and there were a lot of political sort of things going on, too. Another opera of his, the Thieving Magpie, he gets into a lot of political hot water in that regard, because in those days, a servant was literally able to be hung for having stolen something from a family that they were working for. And it's, again, another true story. A girl ended up being hung because a magpie came and took some silver that was on the table and took it away. And they accused her, and she ended up being hung. And he made that into an entire opera.
Wow. You know, the thing about opera that I think a lot of people are, I don't want to use the word exactly put off, but if it's sung in a foreign language and you really, unless you have a little tiny light and you're trying to follow along in English, it's a little bit off-putting, but yet, as you just said, the music kind of tells the story too.
Yes.
And the acting.
Yes. Well, it's a precursor, basically, to our movies.
Yes.
That's where people would go.
Yeah, exactly. With the music that follows along the story and the acting. It's just, it's the language. Would this ever be La Traviata sung in English? Would it ever work in English?
I'm sure that there have been arrangements made of that that have changed it, and made, I personally do not know of the, but okay. I'm sure they have.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things about opera that makes you say, well, I don't understand it. But anyone that just listened to that prelude, Mark, I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. I don't know how they write it so complex.
Actually, that's fairly simple.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no. How so? Tell us.
Well, it's the chord structures are basically common, and the violins on the top there, that little dum, tig-a-dum, 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 is known as an obbligato, which goes over on top of the chordal structure, but underneath that is the basic feeling of the opera as it goes. And as I said, that there are these chords that just appear that kind of give a precognition of the tragedy which is to come.
So there are patterns that are in this, because we have patterns in everything. I'm telling you, if you go get a nonfiction mystery thing book at the library, it's going to follow a pattern. You know, everybody gets introduced, somebody dies, somebody tries to figure out how did they die and who killed them. There's not a mystery in what's going to happen here. You just don't know who, what, and when yet.
Exactly. Well, you know, that sort of argument is being made, like I just saw an article, but contrasting Tchaikovsky and Brahms. Brahms is a lot more structured and a lot more Germanic in his approach. Tchaikovsky is a lot more melodic. And people will either tend towards the melodic or they'll tend towards the other. But that doesn't mean that Brahms wasn't very emotional in his own way. You have to be, it's our own subjective understanding of what we're listening to that puts the music. It's like Laura Ingalls Wilder said, her mom said, hunger is the best sauce.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it makes everything taste good. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you answered this in talking about if he was prosperous or not, but enjoy what he was doing? Struggle? Or was he?
Well, there were struggles, absolutely. But, I mean, when you've got a passion to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
And whether or not that ends up making a lot of money for you, in some ways, is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Especially if you either marry well or get some mentor, because that was common, wasn't it, for a lot of these composers?
Yes, yes.
To have financial support.
Well, they did, especially earlier. I mean, by the time Verdi came along, though, you need to make some money with your opera. So did Mozart. You did that to make some money.
Yeah. Exactly.
And our next person that we're going to listen to here, Vivaldi, he also wrote operas, but most people never heard an opera by Vivaldi, including me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not going to listen to that yet. I want to repeat for our audience that these concerts that we're talking about, these 32 years of the most amazing classical concerts, free to the community, a gift to the community, though donations are obviously gratefully accepted. This weekend, Friday evening at 7 p.m. at First Lutheran Church here in Sandpoint, and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. also at First Lutheran Church here in Sandpoint at the corner along Ontario and Olive. All right, we are up against our next break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, we have more music and more commentary for you.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Mondays are local appreciation all day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. 15% off your bill with an Idaho driver's license. No exclusions, even on fillets and crab legs. Proudly serving Idaho-raised and processed USDA choice beef and everything fried in Snake River Farms beef tallow.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise Foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet.
Lana K Realty has a commercial property listing with a new price reduction down to $799,900. 350 feet of frontage on Highway 95 in Sagal. 3.28 acres and an approved ITD encroachment permit. Business ready with a manufactured home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a small outbuilding, a barn, and a 40x40 shop. 1 Sagal water hookup included. Southern exposure and views of Baldy Mountain. See the professionals at Lana K Realty. LanaKRealty.com.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our 5 locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
With Target, this Father's Day will be epic. Get up to 30% off gifts for dad. Plus, buy one and get the second one at half price on games, books, music, and more with Target Circle. From stylish apparel and top fitness gear to amazing games and Lego sets, you'll find the perfect gift for him no matter how he dads. Now through Father's Day, save up to 30% on select gifts for him. Plus, buy one, get the second at half price on games, books, music, and more with Target Circle. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with Mark Reiner, along with his wife, Karen. They are the founder, well, she's not here in the studio with us, but he and his wife, they are the founders of the Pondere Chorale and Orchestra. They have been bringing beautiful, beautiful classical music to Sandpoint for 32 years. These programs are they are no charge to the community. And really, Mark, I don't know that all of the people in the chorale and the orchestra are volunteers, but most of them are volunteers. I think
everyone is a volunteer.
Everyone. Okay. I thought maybe some got like some reimbursement for gas or a little bit of
I do
help.
That for the people that are coming up from Coeur d'Alene for this. But on the other hand, they have said very openly to me that they would do it for nothing. But I can't do that for them because it is expensive driving back and forth.
It is. Arsons. And do you have people that come in from Bonner's Ferry also?
Yes. Oh, yes. A couple people.
Tell us a little bit about the group. How many members in the chorale? How many members in the orchestra?
There are about 20 in each, and they are all from the area from, say, Coeur d'Alene through up to the Canadian border and going out east and west, Knoxon to past Peace River, Newport even.
You know, one of the things that... I don't think it should surprise anyone, this volunteer. I mean, you start rehearsing like in September, October for the Christmas concert. When did you start rehearsing for this spring concert?
March.
Wow. And they come. They practice at home, obviously, but then they have to come together to make it all work also.
Well, we're really blessed because Dr. Alan Ball provides CDs with their individual part accentuated on it. In other words, we can take a recording of the piece and then put their particular part on it so they can sing along and learn it because a lot of people in choir cannot read music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Well, we're up to our next composer, Vivaldi, and I'd like you to talk to our audience, just introduce them to what it is they will hear at the concert called Spring from his Four Seasons.
Yes. Well, Four Seasons has actually got four entire movements, but we're only doing the first one called Spring. And this involves a soloist, our concert master, Keegan Bernardin, is going to be playing the primo violin part, which is a fairly difficult part, and he does an excellent job of it. However, there are also two other soloists with that. The second violin is Gail McCutcheon. She's playing the second part, and I'm very happy to have one of our students, Sophie Capadoglio, do the third part. And she... is an academic whiz. She just came back from back east, and she won in her category first place in the academic standings in the entire United States.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Does she teach me? I mean, is this her day job is her violin? She goes and she plays with other orchestras?
Are you talking about Sophie?
Yes.
Oh, no. Sophie's in high school.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So that's just so amazing to me because they volunteer their time,
yes.
And it's just so beautiful.
Yes.
Will these, so these are all soloists that will play different parts.
Well, yes. Actually, it ends up being a trio at one point. So,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's go ahead and listen to a bit of Vivaldi's Spring. All right, Vivaldi's Spring. Tell us what we were listening to there. Boy, well, it sounded joyful to me.
Yes. I gave you the music, the viola part, and written on the music is the, how should I put this, the basis for how he wanted it to be played and the feeling he got out of it. The very first section, the opening, it says it's a festive spring. Mm-hmm. And then what you heard there is a shift over into the violin, starting with the primo violin, and then the other two came in, which were imitating the birds chirping.
Exactly. It talks the birds salute with their happy song. It talks about zephyrs, which are the sweet breezes of spring, gentle and beautiful flowing. But what I didn't hear yet is the thunder and the sky covered with a black mantle.
Well, that's coming along a little bit later, yes.
We'll hear that at the concert.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Because there's a storm that's going to come in. And then it talks about, the birds are silent for a while, and then they return to their sweet song.
Yes. And I thought let's face it, this is a very famous piece.
Yes.
Everybody knows it. And I think
heard it, they don't know it, but they recognize it when they hear it.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Vivaldi himself is a very interesting person. I was surprised. I'd like you to expand. We think of him as a composer. He himself was a violinist, and he was a Catholic priest.
Yes. Well, let me talk about that a little bit. He was born 10 years before Bach. In other words, he was born in 1675. Bach was 1685. Anyway, he and his father were the most famous violinists as he was growing up, and it was in Venice. Now, Venice was essentially his hometown, and he went off and did other things in his mid-20s, 30s, so forth, but he always came back. Now,
always came back to Venice and music.
Yes, exactly. Now, what happened was that he got the job of being the music director of a girls' school. And now this is actually fairly important because in those days, the girls' schools, there were more than one girls' schools, and everybody was trying to be the top dog and who had the best music program. And it turned out Vivaldi's was the best string music program. Now, interestingly enough, Vivaldi was not well known for his choral music. As a matter of fact, he was literally hissed when he wrote pieces just for choir and and vocal. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he was famous for his orchestra at that time, and people would come from far and wide, even in those days, to come and listen to his girls' school play his music.
My goodness. So it was his music that the school was playing.
Oh, yes.
When did it cross over at some point to big symphony orchestras lifetime?
No,
in the school?
I don't think the school exists any longer. let me say this, though. His violin concerti, and he has an enormous number of them. They go up the scales and down the scales and around, but what they really are, in many cases, are etudes or studies to do technical practice.
Like teaching music.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Practicing
exactly.
Music.
But he used them for the concerts as well.
Yes.
And so that's why he has so many of them and why they're so ubiquitous.
I've asked this before. It's just interesting to me. How long did he live? You know, he was living back where, you know, there were plagues and bugs.
He died in 1741.
Okay, so he was like 70-ish.
Yes, well, 75.
65.
Yes.
25 and 40. So 65. Was he prosperous? I mean, did he reap the benefit of this just incredible talent financially?
Yes and no. First of all, you have to understand, as you said, he was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him have to have other duties at the same time. Now, if he finally ended up leaving Venice, because in 1737, he was theoretically observed leaving his post as a priest during a mass and going off and writing something musically down. And that went to the Inquisition. Now, most people think of the Inquisition during the Middle Ages, but the Inquisition was still going on in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They may have not be torturing people like they did earlier, but on the other hand, they were still very powerful, and they came down on him, and he left Venice at that time and didn't return.
Did he leave protection of his life? I mean,
I don't know. All this that I'm giving to you was kind of alleged. It came up in writings about him, but no one knows exactly the details of this. So he went up to died in Northern Europe, actually.
Okay. Like Sweden, you mean?
No. Germany.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, not that it matters.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know why I even asked. I have a tremendous curiosity about every detail.
Oh, you can't, okay.
I just love it. Anyway, so if you could talk about detail during the concerts, you've got me. I'm all for it. But, okay, so Vivaldi, and so did I hear that he was a priest, so money, of course, wasn't his main concern, but he didn't die in poverty.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. And as I mentioned earlier, he wrote 39 operas, none of which I know of nowadays. And they were performed in all the big cities at that time. And that was possibly another way of his making money.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how much money was made and whether he had to give some of it back to the priesthood or whatever. There are a lot of unknown things.
It's so interesting to me, the life that they, you forget, we think about the music, but they, you know, were married or they weren't, and they had children and the children died. And I mean, they have this life story.
Oh, yes.
So interesting.
Well, when this thing happened with the Inquisition, he pointed out to the people in charge that there were no scandals under his control when he was there doing the music he did at the girls' school. There were no scandals, and so that, let's face it, he was trying to protect himself there again
and his reputation.
Yes.
But here we are again, where politics plays a part in these men, these lives that we're talking about. We don't think about it that way, but there were definitely politics and opposition.
Yes, I have one other comment to make in his operas. People in those days did not think of stealing other people's work the way we do nowadays, you know, intellectual property. It turned out in some of his operas, he used arias from other composers, including Handel. As I said, he did not write very well for his vocals. And so he felt comfortable. Yeah, he felt comfortable in taking some of the other people's operas and using what he wanted out of them.
Maybe they didn't have patent laws intellectual property patents.
Right.
All right, we are up against our final break, and we're going to take that right now.
Imagine hiring a carpenter to fix a computer.
Just a little whack should do it.
Or a plumber to fix your TV.
Think I found the leak.
Sometimes it's just better to start with an expert. When it comes to your car or truck transmission, get it done right the first time. Call on the specialist at Burnett's Transmission. Burnett's is absolutely the undisputed expert in transmission service and replacement. They've invested in the sophisticated equipment and certified training required to offer you affordable expert transmission repair. Cars and trucks, 4x4s and motorhomes, manual or automatic. When it comes to your transmission, turn to the specialist Burnett's Transmission on Highway 200 next to the Hoot Owl. Call them today for a free transmission performance diagnosis. 263-0589. You'll feel better knowing that the experts at Burnett's did the job. Or you could call your dentist.
Aha! Maybe if I just pull this... Oh, maybe not.
The Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce Membership Luncheon is this Thursday from noon to 1 p.m. at Marigold Bistro in the Community Room at the Umpqua Bank Building in Sandpoint. Seating is limited. To register, go to sandpointchamber.org.
Does your pet need to be spayed or neutered? At Better Together Animal Alliance, we offer affordable, high-quality spay and neuter services to keep your pets happy and healthy. This includes a veterinarian exam, anesthesia, surgery, pain management, and even a free microchip, all at a low cost to you. Plus, every dog also gets a nail trim. Give your pet the care they deserve. Schedule today. Visit BetterTogetherAnimalAlliance.org to learn more.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We have beautiful classical music going today for you with Mark Reiner because the Pondere Chorale and Orchestra concerts, spring concerts, are coming this weekend, Friday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church right here in Sandpoint on Olive and Ontario. Well, Mark, I just enjoy programs with you so much.
You're certainly welcome.
Because we get to listen to such beautiful music, and you give what always fascinates me, some of the backstory behind this beautiful music. So a part of your concert deals with Beethoven's Romance in F. We looked up, we're going to play Romance in G for you.
But go ahead.
Understand that it'll be okay. So let's go ahead and play the Beethoven piece.
Thank you.
It is so beautiful. You know, we were talking, Mark, that music is healing and music is in a universal language and babies move to it instinctively. And you added to what I said, it's good music that does that.
Yes.
And I think when people listen to something that we just listened to by Beethoven, that they understand that's good music.
Yes, it brings out deeper emotional context rather than something superficial.
Right. It's fun to dance around and jump around, but that's not really somehow feeding your spirit or bringing something beautiful into your life.
Well, let's face it. We are influenced by everything and everyone around us. And if you put good quality music around you, you will start reflecting the feelings of that good quality music. Whereas if you put something that is disruptive and unpleasant and chaotic,
jarring.
Yes, yeah. then that's what you're going to be starting to feed upon.
That's what you will feel, and it will begin to affect you. Well said. So talk to us a little bit about Beethoven.
Well, this particular piece, you played part of the G major romance, and if you'll notice, it started off with a number of double stops. That means the violinist
is... I didn't actually notice that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what a double stop is
when the violinist plays two notes at one time. And so if you're able to move your fingers well enough, you can play two different melodies going on at one time on your violin. And it gets up to... you can have a quadruple stop even, but it usually by the time you get there, your bow can only cover two strings at once. You know, when you go to quadruple stops, you usually play chords in that way. But let me just talk a little bit about that particular piece. That piece that you listened to just then was written in, I think, 1801. And the one that we're going to play was actually written in 1798. It was the first one. The F major was his first one. But it wasn't published until 1805, which makes it the second one of the published. So it went backwards. It's like as Beethoven's Piano Concertos. Number two is actually the one that was written first, and the number one was written second. So it gets confusing in terms of timelines when things are published and so forth.
Was this when he wrote this in 1798 and then G, the Romance in G, 1801, was he getting toward the end of his career?
Oh, not at all.
This is early in his career.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This is definitely early in his career. He didn't pass on until 1826. And that is a much, that number of years later, let's say. And of course, everyone knew that, you know, Beethoven was famous because he was still writing music when he was deaf at the end. It's my contention that all these really well-known and famous composers had what's known as perfect pitch. And that means that they can hear the note devoid of having some instrument play that note for them. And if it's going on in your head, you could know.
So he was hearing it in his head, even though he was deaf at the end of his life.
Yes,
or increasingly deaf.
Yes. Well, by the time you get to the final symphony, the symphony number nine, that's a choral symphony. And what you have there is really a fairly simple melody. Da, 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 da. So he was getting pretty simple at that point in that way. It wasn't complex like many of his string quartets and
that
so
is
forth.
So, you know, we have only covered three of the composers. You have many other pieces that you will be using at your concerts. Let our audience know just a couple of them.
Okay. One of the ones that you were talking about earlier was the Aaron Copland. Copland in 1921 was studying with Nadia Boulanger in Paris and wrote four motets. We're going to do one of them called Sing Ye Praises to the Lord. All four of the motets are religiously oriented. O Thou Jehovah, I have mercy on us and help us, O Lord, were the other ones. And these are all straightforward in that one that we're going to do. There's a section where we have four soloists, and it contrasts with the whole choir in that particular piece. Also, one with a very most powerful pieces I think we have for the choir only is a piece by Randall Thompson called The Last Words of David. And I think they are apropos to the world at this time, and I hope people get the meaning from it.
Lovely. That's it's just so much to look forward to because it's beautiful and informative. And
yes.
I don't know, it touches our souls,
yes.
Mark. Indeed it does.
Thank you. The choir is going to be the very first thing on by the a cappella and most of the pieces. But the choir is then going to go off, and we're going to have some soloists. And the Beethoven, to go back to the Beethoven is going to be played by Gail McCutcheon. With Karen playing the orchestral part on the piano, on the new piano. By the way, the Lutheran Church has just purchased an enormous 9-foot grand piano. And so this will be the inaugural use of that piano in a concert. Let me go on a little bit. After there'll be other soloists as well. Keegan's also going to be playing a Mozart part of a Mozart sonata, and Alicia Dawson's going to be playing a piece by Chaminade dealing with the stars. Also, Larry Hanna and the Selkirk Brass are going to be putting on a medley of all brass.
I cannot wait for this Friday evening at 7 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church right here in Sandpoint at Olive and Ontario. I just cannot thank you enough for being with us today. That one's not right.
Okay.
For being with us today and sharing the love and the skill that you have. Thank you, Mark Reiner. I look forward to it. All right, everybody, that's the program for today. I want to thank again Mark Reiner. We so look forward to the concerts coming this Friday and evening, Sunday afternoon, right here in Sandpoint. Looking forward to that. And I invite you all to come on back next Tuesday because kind of a change of direction, local realtor Ben Gianetta will be here to bring us up to date on real estate prices, on real estate trends, and good things to understand about our local real estate market. You know, whether you're buying or selling or you just want to be in the know, join us next Tuesday. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and each other. Slow down out there, and may God richly bless you, my friends.